This is Radio Free Cybertron with your host, Brian Kilby, featuring Chris, Don, Rob, Diecast, John, and Melvar. For the latest Transformer news, reviews, and more, visit tformers.com.
This is Radio Free Cybertron, episode 604. I am Brian Kilby. Today is January 9th, 2019. I just wanted to start the show off mentioning someone who's been a major part of the show, believe it or not. You may have never heard his name before. But if you listen to the podcast or watch the video, at least up until recently, you've heard his voice for like nearly 10 years. Mike Walker, the guy behind all of our, it's called imaging in the business, our liners, our intros, our outros. Mike passed away earlier this week. Mike was only 60 years old, but he was a 45-year radio veteran. And he was, to me, in a lot of ways, a mentor and a friend and just... wanted to mention that, you know, we miss you, Mike. Thank you very much for everything you did for us over the years. And you are a talent that will never be forgotten. So thank you for everything, Mike. One more quick note before we start. We were supposed to do our annual predictions this episode. We'll be doing that next episode due to a scheduling snafu, which means I forgot. Okay, with that bit of business out of the way, hey, guys, how's it going?
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Good.
So we have John on video. This is
you've had John on video for a month.
I'm not used to it. So I missed one episode.
It's a slow news cycle.
I missed one episode, and for whatever, I don't think you're around for the year end show, which was the last show that we recorded, which was like a week and a half ago. So the last week's show, you know, we haven't done a live stream in a couple of weeks. So
I listened on the secret insider stream.
Oh, you did? Sweet. Yeah. With Don.
Yeah.
So we had two people watching that one.
Two viewers.
Hey, yeah. Yeah.
Get that YouTube money.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess it's actually still out there, but it's still hidden. So we have Matt. Matt.
Hi. How's it going?
It's going. Diecast.
Hey.
Hey. Hey, Jason.
Hello.
Hello. Chris.
I've been exiled off of video.
I'll fix that. Who can I?
I won't stand for this injustice.
If you're watching now, if you're watching the video, Chris,
sorry, please die. We got rid of Don. I passed, so.
And we also have Don on video, and Rob's not on video.
In a second, I guess.
Yeah,
there he is.
So
this new Skype.
Yeah,
Rob's the smart one. He doesn't even try to video.
You know, we're a podcast. Well, our audience is primarily audio.
That a podcast that goes out on the internet?
Yeah, it's a podcast that goes out on the internet.
Ideally, yes.
But, like, but you know, between all of our video sources, you know, we get quite a bit of video traffic as well. And we've been doing video for, like, 9 years.
I'm not saying not to do it. I'm just saying Rob is smart because he doesn't even try.
Yeah.
One of these days, I'll actually have to get straightened up in here a little bit because this laptop does have a built-in camera.
Nice.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's probably not a very good built-in camera. And, like, at this point, I think it's just fine that you're audio only if you prefer doing it that way.
His video I kind of do. His video is great before, years ago, when we had video from Rob.
Sometimes yeah, I mean, it was very green.
The only real problem with his video was sometimes the lighting was fairly harsh.
Yeah.
I mean, with the current Skype, we can't show everybody on video at once anyway, so.
Yes. Exactly.
Yeah.
Which is really convenient on those weeks when Don has exceeded his 5 gigabyte monthly bandwidth cap.
If anybody really wants to see me that badly, I am the guy in the red shirt on Brian's Twitter header.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Yep. So the guy that looks like Haggard from, like, Final Fight, right, with the beard and everything?
Yeah, Mike Haggard.
Yeah. Yeah. I was once told invited to a Harry Potter premiere saying that I would look great dressed as Hagrid and draped in ferrets.
You
would.
You'd be a great Hagrid.
Yeah.
Well, and there's also a reason you've used the Ox King as your personal image for years.
I was going to point that out.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. Yeah, sweet. Yeah, so let's see what's going on this week. Something I wanted to mention, a couple things. One, Transform Squadron Episode 5. From Rob Springer, that's at tfradio.net. You go there, and Rob posted the newest episode of his monthly podcast. It's the official podcast of zonebase.org. So it's fun. Check it out. Also, I wanted to do, while it's still relevant, a Bumblebee box office update. So this is actually pretty interesting, guys. Bumblebee, first week, seemed like an abject failure. That was over the Christmas holiday. It's actually... So I know that Jason and I are in like tracking like movie performance and everything for us. So there's like a typical pattern that movies follow, and Bumblebee is not following that pattern. It is actually hanging on, and it's the drop off is minimal week over week. So domestically, it first week was what? I mean, what, $21 million, $20,800,000 was the first weekend. And it seemed like it wasn't going to make its money back. Right now, domestically, in meaning the U.S., it's at $100 million.
Right.
Well, that's like three quarters of its budget.
But if you look at the foreign total, it's at $207 million, $208 million.
Yeah, so, it did a lot better when it opened in China than people were really expecting, yeah, based on the U.S. performance based on them extending Aquaman for another month.
Yeah, it overperformed in China. So that's $300 million. So let's see. I'm going to look up real quick last night because I don't even know how much that made.
More than that, but
yeah, it did not do well in China. I don't believe.
No, it didn't.
So last night made about $130 million domestically, and I think Bumblebee will come close to that. If not tracking, and it made $475 million internationally.
Well, and the perspective to keep here is that while The Last Knight made $130 million domestically and Bumblebee may match that in its theater lifetime, The Last Knight's production budget was something like $225 or $230 million.
Yeah.
Bumblebee will make back its production budget domestically, and then all of that international money is profit. Just straight up profit.
Well, the good thing is there was so much positive word of mouth. I think that buzz really helped a lot getting the word
out. I don't think I can permanently mute you again.
I actually have not had a chance to see it yet, but I've heard a lot of good things about it, so I'm looking forward to seeing it. But really, I guess Bumblebee is like its insect namesake. Bumblebee's not supposed to be able to fly, but it does. This Bumblebee, you think wouldn't actually be a viable movie, and it's actually outperforming everybody's expectations, which is great.
In pre-show, two things happened. One, I learned that I can mute people. Two, I showed that I had reconnected my cough button that I haven't used in like 2 years. So as Don was talking, I was pressing the button, pressing now, you see it's going away, trying to mute Don, and it wasn't working. I couldn't figure out what was going on. So
I'm so glad. Mute Don button. What? Okay. Do I amuse you? Am I here for your entertainment? Huh?
Okay, what we need to work on this year, for 2019, is a way for us to connect Brian's cough button to Don's microphone over the, you know, hundreds of miles that separate them.
A remote link up.
Yeah. That would be great. With the Skype lag, that would work perfect.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be brilliant.
I'm even so better. I'm so glad my input is so valiantly dismayed.
I'm going to start randomly pressing go so that you wonder, like, what's the microphone? It's just messing up. Okay, so...
Oh, yeah. So, like, the same thing that you would have one of us leave the call over if it was happening to us.
Yeah, pretty much. Double standards. So, yes. Double standards. But, yeah, that's what's going on. So, John walked away... Let's just go ahead and jump into it. Did anybody get anything this week? And I'm going to start off because I know Diecast got it too. If I can find it. I forgot where I put it. Oh, it's right here. It's the Encore Unicron.
It's so pretty.
It is really pretty. I thought I was going to hate this. And I have to say, I'm actually very pleased with it. I forgot how much I paid for it, and I don't really want to know. So maybe if I knew how much I paid for, $135, I think, shipped. It was like $135 shipped, which is a little much.
Amazon Japan?
Yeah.
If you think about it, though, I think the last time Toys R Us had the Unicron mold, it was in the neighborhood of $100 anyway. So using that as a standard, it's not that bad of a deal.
Well, you can go buy a Primus, which he was $150, wasn't he?
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, that's actually a good point. I think your Minicon Unicron there is actually probably a pretty fair price, all considered.
And yep. I know Matt was concerned about the joints because on his version, the last one, the tolerances were off. It's super tight. Oh my gosh, it's like it's better than my original Armada Unicron. So
that had pretty good tolerances to my.
Did, yeah. So it's great. Very pleased that I picked it up.
Yeah, I just wonder if the car actually listened to the fans or listened or saw the issues the last reissue had and made it a point to make sure this one was up to snuff, or if it was just brought up to snuff because it's an older mold and that's something that they should do on, you know, when possible.
It's possible they have it in their heads to maybe use this mold a couple more times so it was or oh, doing some God, revitalization no. to it. Hey, it's possible just because they make them, you don't necessarily have to buy them.
This is true, which is hard to remember sometimes. Also, I picked up I got this on Christmas clearance at Target. I never seen them before, haven't seen them since. They're these weird little transforming soft good product, which is there's an Optimus Prime, a Hot Rod. A sound wave.
Yeah, they're like keychains.
You
just kind of turn them inside out into robot mode.
You turn them inside out into robot
Transformers mode. Popples.
It's basically
there was like a pillow Optimus Prime a few years ago that worked the same way, I think.
There was
a little plush that worked that way. I think I have it.
So here's Optimus Prime. It's kind of like a Popple, yeah. I wouldn't say it's a keychain. It's like a backpack. Whatever the kids do.
Trinket.
Whatever the hell they do. I'm always afraid I'm going to break it when I do this. I don't know how though. It's soft goods.
Well, then don't do that.
Yeah, that's true. Hot Rod, very cute. And of course,
how much were they on clearance?
Like $2.
I've seen them at Target. But they were like $5 or $6 price.
$5 doesn't seem too bad if you just want to get one of them.
They were with the Christmas clearance stuff, and they were only $2. So Soundwave, they're very cute. So if you know you still have clearance stuff at Target, first look for the Cadbury eggs that they have the hard ones, and then look for these.
And Brian, Easter Cadbury eggs are already out.
Of course they are.
I need to go to Sheets.
I've seen Easter variety Cadbury cream eggs out as early as December.
Actually, let's see if tfready.net/Cadbury has the. It is the new. It's no longer the scream eggs or whatever it is regular Cadbury eggs. tfready.net/Cadbury CADBRY.
I wonder how small they are this year.
Oh my God, they are so small now. Pack of 48 for $25.
Oh,
send them to Don.
No, I don't.
Price.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, compared to retail in the stores, they're about 79 cents or so, give or take.
Pretty solid price.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Who else got anything?
I'll go next.
Okay.
So I'm gonna start with some quick off-topic stuff, but it's stuff we love. I got I didn't find any Transformers clearance at Walmart, but older series Mega Constructs Heroes were $250 each, so I got 3 spare Starfleet officer bodies and a Ponfar Spock to go with the Amok Time Kirk I got for $1 back in August.
Mine has no Series 3.
So now I have the Wrestling Federation Tag Team Champions.
Yeah, mine doesn't have Series 3 at all.
To fight my MicroMaster wrestlers. Also, last week, I found Mega Constructs Heroes Series 4, which we thought was canceled. And so I picked up for myself Man-at-Arms and Evil-Lyn, and then picked up some spares to spread around.
Thank you.
When I went back today, almost everything was gone. I think there was one Hellboy and one Kratos left out of the assortment. Like, the whole rest of it had been picked clean. I was actually kind of surprised. I didn't think there was that much activity on the Mega Constructs Hero stuff locally here. But the important things that I got within the last week were the Siege Leaders.
Oh, God, jealous.
Hey, that doesn't... They look like Voyager-size figures.
Yes, they look pretty tiny.
Well, they're definitely priced as leaders. You'll notice I have Magnus out of the armor, and that's because, like, the armor is okay. It's kind of like City Commander reimagined through a Hasbro budget and lens. Ooh. Which, I mean, if you like City Commander, that's not necessarily a negative comparison.
A decade ago.
Well, and this has a similar feel to it when you're working with the parts, but it's a lot more polished and less hard edges to hurt your fingers as you're trying to snap things together. Like, everything fits together really smoothly. You know, it's like the refined City Commander. And if you want the Ultra Magnus experience where it armors up like that, it's not a bad option. I wish the blue was a lighter color and it didn't have all the paint scrape deco over it, but like, it's not that bad. And since recent developments have convinced me, I'm probably not going to buy the leader class Optimus that's coming out. I just went ahead and bit the bullet for this. But I actually find the cab robot to be a lot more interesting, and it's fairly dynamic. I guess not super poseable, but what it can do works pretty well for getting good poses out of. The transformation's a little bit simplistic. A lot of the engineering and parts count went into the trailer and armor components, obviously. Oh, and the trailer process, too. So the process for putting the trailer together, for assembling the armor into the trailer, is really not intuitive, but not in a bad way. Like, if you want to sit down and have a really interesting puzzle experience, try putting the trailer together without looking at the instructions or even the picture on the back of the box. Like, you'll be occupied with that for a good while, and probably not in a frustrating way. Like, it's really interesting to try to figure out where the pieces go together, how they fit together to make that trailer shape, because when they're apart, they really don't look like separated pieces of a trailer. That's actually a fairly impressive bit of engineering they did to make the forms distinct like that.
So basically,
Shockwave. Oh, sorry, Don.
Ignore the instructions out of fun, not out of necessity. Gotcha.
Yeah, exactly. So Shockwave is maybe not as engaging in the same way with the extra parts, but I think the end result's a little bit more interesting and fun. Shockwave's not as flexible with the use of the extra parts as we were thinking from some of the pictures we've seen so far. It's sort of like COG, where an extra peg here or there or a port in a different place would help the flexibility a whole lot, but there is still a few different ways that you can put the stuff together. But like, the real winner with Shockwave and the extra parts is the battleship mode, which is so good looking in person, especially if you do what I did and turn the side gun pods up so they're not sticking out like extended wings.
Side guns.
But Shockwave's a really solid, smallish Voyager size figure and fits in pretty well with your existing Voyager-ish and adjacent Decepticon figures. It looks good next to Megatron. And there's even a little, let me see if I can pop it out. There's on the backpack, there's a little landing skid for the, submarine mode. I mean, you can turn the submarine upside down and it sort of looks like a space gun. The handle's far too small to handle, but, it's better executed as a battleship than it is anything else for alt mode purposes. And it basically reinforces what I said all the way back with Titans Return Six Shot. If they had called it a spaceship instead of a submarine, I don't think people would have made near as much fun of it.
I'm glad they didn't, though.
Why?
I mean, we got so much mileage.
Yeah, but if they had called it a spaceship, we wouldn't have known we were missing out on a joke. So
yeah.
But yeah, I'm really happy. I'm actually pretty happy with both. I'm really happy with Shockwave. I don't think you're going to be hurting too much if you decide to wait a little while and see if these go on a little bit of a discount at Amazon after a couple months, but they're definitely worth picking up when you think the price is right, be that actual retail or a little bit later down the road. And if the Optimus is as Cybertron Optimus as the comic covers we're seeing are leading us to believe, and the leg guns being basically blatant ripoffs of that design, that's also probably going to be a pretty good option, since I imagine the backpack and trailer parts are going to be engineered fairly similarly, how they combine together and wrap around the truck cab, which is a really neat process. So I don't think there's a wrong way to go with this, even if you don't necessarily need another G1 Ultra Magnus in your collection right now. And I think that covers me for this week.
Cool. Don, do you have Siege Ultra Magnus or Shockwave?
Yes, I do. I picked them up at my Target, did the reset, and I picked them up yesterday along with probably the only Star Wars figure I will buy that I can think of right now, the Archive Boba Fett.
Huh. What's an Archive figure?
Basically, it's just reissues of the earlier Star Wars Black figures, just on card versus box. Because I had two of these and sold them for $65 a piece. He wasn't that important to me at the time. So I now have one that I can open up, put on the shelf, because
I like that better.
Yeah. So this is a figure you bought out of nostalgia for how much you were able to sell the original for.
Well, not really. No, it's of all the Star Wars Black figures, this is the only one that I've really wanted for me, just because it is a great looking figure. Even though I am really burned out on Star Wars, I kind of regret selling them. But again, $65 a piece, not that much.
It was like when I sold Lowlight from Pursuit of Cobra, and then they ended up doing that that other release of it during the 50th anniversary set or whatever it was.
So you know, I've got one to open, so I'm happy. Big shout out to @RoyceMac3 on Twitter. He got me my Flash, Barry Allen, 1990 CBS series Flash.
Nice.
He picked this up for me. It was a gift. I'm gonna pay him back for at least the shipping as soon as the PayPal transfer goes through. But yeah, this is my Flash, the velour suit and everything. And I'm really grateful to get this Flash in my collection.
There were no action figures associated with that TV series originally.
No, there were not.
It only lasted one season. And it wouldn't make sense. I mean, it was a primetime TV show for old people. Maybe that's why Don likes it.
We need a Mark Hamill trickster to go with it, though.
That would be nice if they do like a villain accompany line, because they've got this Flash, Linda Carter Wonder Woman, and Val Kilmer's Batman.
I thought they had Michael Keaton's Batman.
I thought it was too, but no, it's Val Kilmer. It's Val Kilmer's.
Yeah.
Nobody wants that.
I couldn't figure
it out either. So there's that. And then, like I said, I got the leaders, mainly just because my Target reset and actually had something, which sort of surprised me there. And also, thanks to Massey having an early morning case of the running crazies, I was up at about 3 o'clock in the morning, give him his food early. And I thought, well, I'll check my email and everything else, because my phone was still charging. And I went to Hasbro Toy Shop just to see what they had. And they had Voyager Optimus and Megatron in stock, and the Buzz Buzz code was still working. And so I picked up. I just now opened up Optimus when I got home. I haven't a chance to transform him, so I got Megatron and Optimus. I wasn't going to buy this. I wasn't going to buy a lot of the Siege line. I'll admit I said that, but half off Deluxes for half price, and I did want the Magnus and the Shockwave. Pretty much guaranteed. I like the way they looked. And these being with the 15% off and free shipping, I figured what little weather damaging they have, I can live with that. So, I can live with that.
That's nice. Thank you for that, Don. They're really nice toys. I love them. I've seen people recently on Twitter, a couple people who have used 91% rubbing alcohol, isopropyl alcohol, to clean that off, and I don't know if I like it better or not.
Apparently, Magic Eraser can possibly work to take that off if they're, you know, on surfaces that aren't otherwise painted. Yeah. And then it'll just take that layer off, too.
And then the only other two things I got is that when I was down visiting my aunt last week, I stopped in at Ross and found Sharknado and Drag Break from the RID 2015 crash combiners for $5 each, and I figured it's Sharknado. It's worth $5 just for the name alone. So I went ahead and I went up and picked, because how much longer are we going to be able to find this crash combiner for $5?
Yeah. Cool. Okay. Let's see here. Rob, what'd you get?
Only a couple of things the last couple of weeks. Somebody sent me from my Amazon wish list Dragon Ball Shoto Vegito, and thank you for that. That's a really nice little figure. I like those Shoto figures. Very nice and posable. Not small, nice desk size. Really nice. And also, I got a couple of things from Barricade 64. One was my Christmas gift, which was a collection of basically 1/144 scale model kit, or, 6-inch scale, basically swords for models, action figures, whatever. And they look pretty nice. I'm not sure what to use them with yet, but they look good.
Is that one of those modeling support goods products?
That's exactly what it is, yeah. I forgot what the name was. And the other thing I got was basically a Sorry Your Life Is On Fire gift of the 1/144 scale Galbaldi Beta from Zeta Gundam, which, that is a really nice model kit. I love that design, and that was a nice peaceful Sunday putting that together, and it definitely did make things a little bit better. So thank you very much for that. Cool. It was great.
Cool. Awesome. Let's see here. Jason, you said you had something?
Yes. First, real quick, off topic, like Chris pointed out, $1 at Walmart.
Yours are down to $1?
Wow. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mine are still at $4.
Well, they're not stocking anything else, so those are going to be gone. And actually, what little Transformers stuff they had, which wasn't much, is all on clearance, including Cyberverse, an ongoing toy line, which seems weird.
It's my understanding we may be looking at a Transformers section downsizing with the next reset, so they probably just want to get rid of any stock they possibly can, or not.
Yeah.
My Transformers pegs for the last 2 weeks have been G1 mini bots, and everything else is in the clearance
aisle. We only had two mini bots on the shelf, and there were tons before Christmas. So
many swerves and tailgates.
I can't find them at all.
Outbacks. The only one I haven't seen is
Not seen an Outback or a Bumblebee.
I got Bumblebee during one of the gravity boxes, not gravity boxes, whatever the boxes that they have for Christmas.
Stocking stuffer boxes.
Yeah, those
never showed up around here.
Yeah, so I did get that. Mine had Bumblebee stuff on clearance. That Barricade figure, it was on clearance, and a couple other things today.
Yeah, I saw a clearance G1 Hot Rod, which were all backwards packaged ones.
Half of mine, three quarters of mine were backwards, but some of them were correct, which surprised me, because that was the first time I encountered those.
All of mine are still backwards packaged.
I saw corrected packaged ones on shelf at the same store, but I guess people bought all the correct ones and just left the backwards ones to be clearanced.
Is that a Nashville store, or is that the one where you live? Actually, where you live?
It's the one where I live.
Oh, I'm surprised that there are enough people there who would actually care.
Well, obviously there's not, because they were still clearancing a bunch of them.
This is true. Good point. Good point.
And then I did have one more thing, and I have been waiting. I received a package on New Year's Eve. This is from my Pavixi/Wrestling on the Edge of Forever co-host, David. He requested I open it live here on Radio Free Cybertron.
Oh, this seems dangerous.
Yes, of course. I'm assuming it's Transformers related, because that would be very weird if it wasn't.
Alternately, what is your favorite breed of bee?
Yeah, mark down the edit point just in case, Brian.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I kind of had a feeling.
Ugh. What is it?
So remember that story a while back about Transformers and shoes?
Oh!
That son of a gun, he freaking bought me the shoes.
Oh, nice.
David, you are ridiculous.
Holy smokes.
Those are Prime ones.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Wow. They're gorgeous. Oh, Ooh. Oh, there's even a little. Oh, cool. There's all kinds of cool stuff about this.
Oh, those are tacky enough I would actually wear them.
I like them.
Yes.
Are they self-lacing?
Not yet.
No. Oh, they come with, I can do white or red. White or red laces.
One of each.
I don't know.
White.
Oh, very
one
nice.
Of each.
That's not a bad idea. Or you could double lace wrong. It.
Yeah. Wow. Oh, that's true. I don't think I've done that since I was like 8.
Now, I'm not the most fashionably upper-level person. But were these a thing that I don't remember, or
we talked about them?
Yeah,
was Don? I believe
I brought them up on the show.
Well, it's funny though because I forgot who it was. We were talking about something like, oh, I don't remember that, and then they said you talked about this on the show 3 weeks ago, and you know, like when you talk about everything, even we skip over a lot of stuff because just you have to. But like when you talk about this stuff every week and spend so much time on it, it's easy to forget.
Well, and the thing is, too, like, it can be, like, the hour after the show ends, and I will have no idea what I said or what we even talked about on the show this week.
Yeah.
Like, it's just gone once it's over with.
Yeah.
Same here. Yeah. That's a podcast thing. Yeah, like, what I say?
As we're talking, I'm actually taking notes of stuff that we talked about so that I can actually write the show notes around it. So, yeah. That's awesome. David did a great job.
Yeah, wow. This is I'm kind of speechless because these. I mean, their shoes aren't cheap.
I know how much those things cost. Too. Those are a great gift.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you so much, David. That was awesome. I'm just going to draw my shoes now. Carry on.
That is slick. Wow. Diecast, you can't top that.
Yeah, we'll see. Now, Jason, you got to top that next year. So now the shoe's on the other foot.
See, I'm kind of upset
Damn
about
it,
that.
Don.
pun aside, yes. Now next year I gotta like bring out the big guns, so we'll see.
Mute button doesn't work. Go ahead, Diecast.
I'll start off with the SGC or SCG, whatever, the Iron Factory G2 sideswipe.
Yes.
Yeah. He is nice. Very small. He's nice though. I mean, I love his spiky tires, and he comes with two machine guns, the sword. He's got a sheath on his back that you can hold the machine guns or the sword in. The only thing about these Iron Factory Legend scale figures is they're so small.
Well, they're Legend scale.
Yeah.
Well, no, they're smaller than like Hasbro Legend scale sized figures. He came with a special numbered collector's card and everything, so he is pretty legit.
Nice. I want to point out that GT Sideswipe is also not your father's Autobot.
That is correct.
Yes.
Also, I think we need to put legit in air quotes.
Yeah. it legitimately exists.
Yeah.
It has form. It has substance.
It has mass.
It can be destroyed.
It's bound to the boat, you know, the Higgs field.
And now this is one Jason's going to like. I didn't get time to fully combine him yet, but it's the Shattered Glass SGC. SGC, yeah. And this was a limited run of 500, and I got 415 of 500.
What is that?
You bought 415 of them?
It's shattered glass.
Power, where's my Christmas present?
Power baser.
We have 400 of them.
I get it. Beautiful. I see. I realize what it is. Yeah,
he's gonna look great next to my Overlord when that comes in because
you get
I do declare Overlord.
Yeah, you got a backpack with a free robot attached.
Okay,
terrible, Don.
I've seen that design. I know what Don's talking about. Yes.
Oh, sure. But
it's pretty easy to get past that backpack for some of the other qualities that thing has.
I thought Diecast was pulling this week's haul out of like a playpen that like a toddler would play in, but it's not what he's doing.
That's the free shelf that Amazon sent me, the free little cart.
Was it an accident or did they actually send you a cart?
It was an accident. Oh. They were supposed to send me potato chips and they sent me a three-tier cart.
Nice.
You know, Diecast, as many objections as I have to so many things about your lifestyle. There are times I wish I had your life when I could order potato chips from Amazon and just get a shelf instead.
Well, I got that. I got those microphones. It was pretty great that one time.
Best I ever did was order myself a PlayStation Vita TV and end up with a case of two.
Oh, nice.
I will never forget that time I ordered X9 Ravage from Beast Wars Metal from Image Anime, and they sent me two.
Oh.
And I sent them a polite email to let them know that they sent me a second one, and they wanted me to return it, which I did, and I had to pay for shipping.
That's terrible.
If you I know, had to do it over again, that's not how it worked out.
Like, morally, yeah, I'm
really nice of you.
Yeah.
Morally, I'm with you right up to the pay for return shipping part, because like, yeah, if you're being honest enough to come to them and tell them you made a mistake and sent me two of this thing, the least they can do is send you a shipping label to send it back.
This
to
was
them
like
with.
What 20 years Seriously. Ago. So, I mean, you know, it's all in the past, but like, I would have just at that point, if it's today, I'd be like, oh, screw you, then I'm keeping it.
Yeah, really.
I also got a upscaled Legends Chrome Dome. This is DX9, your unique toys, but it's upscaled, so it's MFT. I don't know, one of those knockoff companies that did it.
It's upscaled, so it's pointless.
It's upscaled, so it's great.
Well, it's only like 10% bigger.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, so that's the small Legends one, not the BB7S model. That's the one for one, right?
Right, right.
Okay.
So how then size wise, how does it compare to say Titan's Return Chrome Dome?
He's smaller.
Okay.
Yeah. He's not deluxe size.
They're still sub deluxe because MechFan Toys did the Iron Factory Shockwave as an upscale of last year or sometime, and people were expecting that to end up being listed block side, but in the end it was only like 10% bigger than the Iron Factory one.
Yep, exactly. That's and the Iron Factory ones just feel like 10% too small to me.
As you were saying with Sideswipe.
Yeah, exactly. So
yeah, I can see it, especially and when you get the ones from MechFans Toys, they're a tiny bit bigger and stuff like that, and then it kind of throws it off even more.
Iron Factory made the little wind blade, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
See, to me, that seems like it's, you know, expected legend size. It doesn't seem like it's undersized to me. I wonder if they started making them smaller since that one. That was one of the early ones.
That one seems pretty small to me, too, from what I remember. But the MechFans Toys and the other one, the other knockoff scale company that's doing leaders, they just feel a little bit more classic Hasbro legend scale to me.
What is okay. So what's that Beachcomber?
Power of the Primes?
What is that? The Power of the Primes Beachcomber is what I thought it was?
Probably. Yeah, that's what Jason had
yes,
in his hand.
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay, just for whatever reason I didn't recognize it. I've got it. I just didn't recognize it.
So here is easy to forget. The
hill?
DevCon?
Yeah.
It's looks terrible.
DevCon-y.
It's terrible.
It look like what is that?
The face is derpy. It's basically the Scourge mold.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Painted as DevCon.
That's terrible. Horrible. Who made it?
That's kind of fun pub-ish.
I think this was MechFan Toys also
I wonder if that's what Brian Savage is up to now. He just runs MechFan Toys.
Oh man, it's a terrible face. I actually said it looks like a fun pub face.
Oh, I didn't get at that time what you meant by that. What's wrong with a fun pub face? I mean, it's Hasbro
derpy.
Tooling.
It's derpy.
Hasbro did the tooling though.
Well, okay. So from what I have gathered over the years, I don't have hard facts to support this stance, but it sounds like it tracks. So Hasbro does, you know, CAD modeling for their toy designs and stuff, whereas the FunPub stuff was designed on paper using turnarounds, and I believe that was sent to the factory where someone had to then translate that into the 3D information to make the tooling from, whether that was through hand sculpting, which is unlikely, or just someone on their premises converting that to a CAD model so that their CNC machine could cut the mold for it.
So when we did an interview with Boss Fight Studios years ago, when we did interviews, They talked about, we had a couple of interview requests this week. I'm like, we don't do interviews. But when I talked with Boss Fight Studios 6 years ago, whatever it was, they were outsourced or contracted out, G.I. Joe stuff for FunPub. And I thought they said they did some Transformers stuff too, which they are former Hasbro peeps. So maybe I'm wrong. I'll have to go back and listen to that interview that we did. But
like, just for the way that some of those FunPub unique head sculpts translated badly to three dimensions or did not fit in the space they were expected to fit into versus the concept art that they would show us for them, like, it all seems to lead to me they were not designed in 3D with the original design assets for the toys they were going on. You know, it was all being done after the fact and then adapted onto it. So it
makes sense.
I think that's why FunPub Face was a thing, because they were designed a completely separate way from how Transformers themselves were designed. And there's our obligatory tangent for this episode.
There you go.
And then I also got the Magic Square Trailbreaker and Cyclonus. Cyclonus is the weakest Magic Square figure I have.
I don't like experienced
so far. I've heard that Jet Mode referred to as a potato.
It's terrible. Trailbreaker though is excellent. So, and most of the Magic Square stuff has been excellent. And on a side note, just because I'm going to review it on RFC Reviews as soon as possible, my Magic Square Optimus Prime Light of Freedom is very close to being at my house, so I'm going to do a review of that as soon as I get it.
That's the masterpiece size one, right?
That's the masterpiece size one.
Yeah, I need that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Barricade 64 has his already and had objections with what the Energon X and Matrix ended up looking like, but otherwise it seemed like it was okay.
You know what? The two things I noticed right off the bat, he's 100% correct. That Matrix looks like garbage, and the axe is okay, it's just too short.
I mean, if they're going to get something simple wrong like that, it's probably better for it to be comparatively minor accessories rather than getting the entire character image wrong like some third parties do in their like entire sculpting phase.
Yeah.
And then I also got Fans Toys. This is Six Shot, and he's really nice, and I've no urge to transform him at all. So I'm not even going to bother doing a video review on him because I don't want to transform it.
The finish on it, is it different than their normal stuff? It looks different.
No, it's still, I mean the white is regular white plastic, which that's actually normal for them.
Green looks kind of metallic.
It does.
Here.
Yeah, the green is painted, which, you know, they usually do use a lot of paint.
When I saw that on Twitter, I immediately thought, because I'm stupid, that it was the Encore Takara Tomy version of the G1 toy that was metallic. And the reason being, it's the toy, the design is pretty unimaginative. I mean, it's a pretty much straight up copy of like the G1 toy from a look perspective. But the thing is, like, that G1 toy, in my mind, it's so amazing and dynamic, but then you look at it and it's like, oh, that's not how I remember this toy at all. I've got three of them, maybe four, but like, whenever I see a really nice third party version of that, or I see the Power of the Primes version or Titans Return version, I'm like, oh, is this the G1 toy? And then I always have to like just shake my head and go, like, no, it's not.
So for you, Six Shot is the masterpiece Optimus Prime that's just like the one you had as a kid.
Yes. Or it's, I was going to say it's my Mandela effect Transformer, but that doesn't quite work out. Yeah. But yeah, you're right.
It's just kind of hard to get, I think, too far from the original Six Shot design and still have it work. Cause I mean,
right.
Yeah.
It has to do so many things that if you tweak the engineering too far, it's just not going to look right.
See also Fans Project with their quick switch.
Mm-hmm.
I just saw my Titans Return six shot. I'm like, oh, there's my G1 six shot. No, it's not. I've got that Encore version somewhere that's metallic.
Was that the one with the leather bound box?
It had a nice box. It wasn't leather bound. It was a nice box though. And I got a couple of other G1s. So okay. Anything else?
Yeah. Last thing I got. I don't have it in front of me, but. Because it's on my review table, but I got a 3D printed Matrix off Etsy.com. We were talking about it. I actually did a review on it, so if you want to take a look at it, check it out. It's really cool, and the designer of it actually sent me a message and was like, oh, I'm a big fan of Radio Free Cybertron, so it's awesome that you reviewed this. Nice. So that was pretty cool. I really love that Matrix. I wish it had a stand, that way I could actually sit it on my desk. I mean, you kind of can, but it will tip over real easy if you tap it. But yeah, I love
it. It looked great.
Yeah, and the 3D print. I mean, it's not perfect, but it's not bad. It's really nice.
And it's a lot better than spending like $500 on one that's like cold cast or whatever the other one is.
Yeah, yeah. Like even if I had a file to be able to print that out, like if someone shared that file.
I think I do have the STL file for one, actually.
I would have to go out and buy like a $400, 3D printer. You get by with a
$200 3D printer.
Yeah, I mean, but it probably still wouldn't have been as good a quality 3D printer.
I'm sure it
probably not
sure being used to print it out. So
nice. Very nice.
But yeah, you can check that out on tfradio.net/reviews.
So when I have more free time, which is coming up very soon, I need to make sure I get all of the back catalog up on the website. I've fallen behind on that. I'm also working on straightening out our Roku channel. Our video provider network, we've been having an issue with them for months. And it has not been updating, so I am going to do this the old-fashioned way and manage it myself.
Brutally,
yeah. So I am going to... So people are watching episodes of RSC on Roku that are like 8 months out of date. So hopefully here in the next 3 weeks, I'm going to have that back up and running.
If you haven't seen it, it's new to you.
Exactly. God, we have like tens of thousands of subscribers on that. I need to make sure that it's working. I know, right? So, need to make sure it's working. So, I am going to fix that so people out there can watch their brand new episodes of RSC. But right now, our listeners on our viewers on Roku are really loving the HasCon coverage and all that it has.
Well, they better make that last because it's going to be a while before the next HasCon episode.
Yeah, this is true. John, did you get anything?
Just stuff that everybody else has gotten. So,
well, tell us what you think.
Let's keep it. Well, I was going to say, let's keep the show moving along, but,
too late.
All right. So I got Green Unicron. He's good.
Nice.
And then between, like online and store, purchases, I got, Skytread flywheels, whatever, from Siege, Cog and Megatron. So I've opened Megatron and, Skytread. Skytread's nice. I mean, I like Duocon's is still a good concept. And so he's nice. He's good. Megatron, I've only fiddled with a little bit. He's solid. I'm going to forget about him in about 3 hours. But he's really good. He's really good. But he's also like the 10th Megatron in about 20 months, it feels like. So, he's... God bless the 7-year-old this is his first Megatron.
He'll be
over the moon.
So there's somebody on Twitter that I don't know them, but there was a tweet that was getting a lot of play on Twitter a couple of days ago on somebody saying that they don't understand why Transformers fans are tired when there's a Megatron, basically every year, an Optimus every year. And I mean, it got a lot of play and some good points were made, but I guess my general thought is we've been going through this routine now when it comes to G1, Optimus, and Megatron, at least like for the last 7 or 8 years. And you could go back and say it really started with like classics in like 2006. Prior to that, we were reusing the name Optimus Prime and Megatron, but we were always doing something different. And often there are new characters, and we had like, it wasn't like the Bumblebee show. It wasn't Sideswipe. So everything, you know, like Prowl, for years, the only Prowl that I had was an owl. And that was pretty awesome.
There's the race car too.
Yeah. So, I think people have been conditioned to think that you're supposed to get these characters every year. But for me, I was like 30 or so when this started. So it's just kind of old for me and for a lot of us. But like if you talk about Eric, Eric's what? Eric just turned 19 or is he still 18? Eric probably He probably doesn't remember a Transformers when it wasn't like the same thing every year, year over year. So
yeah, I'm never going to be used to Transformers being a Batman toy line, but it's been that way for a decade.
It really has been. It's weird. It's still weird to me that, you know, we're not getting new characters and new things. Like I would gladly give up obscure G1 homages ever so often for like, you know, brand new things.
I like the obscure G1 stuff, but it pops up so infrequently because we constantly have to get a new Megatron or a new Optimus or a new Bumblebee.
Yeah.
New Starscream.
Even though, you know, collecting is different with, you know, online stores these days where it's not hard to go back and find, you know, an Optimus or an Megatron from 2-3 lines.
Not even that. There's Ross. There's Ollie's. You know, there's things like that. You can go back and get like the last couple of years of toys potentially, I think the reason I love BotBot so much is that it's new. Mm-hmm. It is completely new.
I'm at a point where I would totally trade Generations 2020 for another go at Robots in Disguise.
Yeah, I can
do that. Yeah, I'll take it. I'll take innovation. Anyway, I like Siege Megatron's a very good Megatron. Whoever buys Siege Megatron will have a very good Megatron.
It's an awesome toy.
They'll probably be very happy. But it's another Megatron.
It's another Megatron.
Yeah.
I'll give them credit, though. Like, it's the best G1 Megatron likeness we've had on the Generations toy yet.
Yeah, I'm kind of digging the whole like move to extremely representative designs more than I expected to, seeing them at SDCC and all those things. It's just I was not expecting to enjoy that Megatron that much, but it really is a nice solid toy that looks like G1 Megatron, and there's more of a space for that than I thought I did.
Yeah. Good stuff. It's just like, you know, I don't know, a transformer that turns into a clog, or a transformer that turns into like, you know, a rodent with gigantic testicles.
What about a tablet?
What about both?
I still need to get a Heinrad someday.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think my brother still has one.
I do. I have one. I love Heinrad. Okay. Or, you know, transformer turns into like a giraffe. Longrack
I don't need that.
Longrack. Or an homage to Longrack that turns into like a crane or whatever, a steam shovel, whatever that thing was.
Almost got that because I actually like that toy.
It's a great toy. And the original, was it Roadblock? Well, no, what's the original toy?
No, Roadblock was the Energon Inferno retool. This was Hoist. Smokescreen's upgraded form.
Yeah, so but he had a, so I just he had a Dinobot head. Was there some reason for that?
Well, he just had a head that resembled Dinobot head,
and
they kind of rolled with that for the fun pub version.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. So, let's see. Okay. Let's go ahead and, that's it, John. Anything else?
Nah, that's it.
Okay. So, I mean, big news, this week is it's G1. So we are recap. So this is
that's a great segue for what we were just talking about, isn't it?
I know. So, this is our first episode that we've actually recorded in 2 weeks. So we're doing some catch up on some news items. So I saw on, I think it was TFW or on Twitter somewhere. I think it may have been TFW or Sabertron or somebody shared a news article about, the Optimus Prime reissue showing up at Walmart. At a Walmart
in Hawaii, I think.
Yeah, and we were getting a new Soundwave and Buzzsaw reissue coming out.
New Soundwave?
It's flat-chested.
And it's flat-chested, yeah, so that's interesting.
It is, but it still has the modified hinges from Sound Blaster.
Yeah, I mean, unless they completely rebuild it, remodel and everything, I mean...
Yeah, they did was they retooled the Sound Blaster door to then sit flush against the body rather than restoring the original tooling, which probably didn't exist anymore.
Yeah, it doesn't, from what I understand. And, you know, so that gives me a valid reason to buy it. It's a new version of that toy that I don't have. So I'm like 40.
Which will probably cost $70 with its one cassette.
I really love that toy, though. God, actually, no, I just remembered I have more than. I just forgot about my SDCC version. God, how many versions of that toy do I have?
Actually, that SDCC one probably has the flat door. You should check
it
on that.
It does. It does.
We forgot Matt. We forgot Matt, and what did you get?
I thought Matt went. I'm sorry.
Matt did not win.
Go ahead, Matt.
No, I was just being passive aggressive in the chat because we've already been on this for an hour. So,
yeah, I mean that fact had not been lost on me either.
Yeah, cool. Okay, so
unless you want to hear about my stack of Marvel Legends, I mean,
what'd you get?
Okay, apparently you want to hear about my stack of Marvel Legends. Well, first I'll do.
He did.
I'll do something on topic, kind of. I got the MechFans toys. No, the MechFans toys version of DX9's Hulky.
Nice.
Oh.
He is all orange. Three of them are like a yellowish orange, and the other three
are
orange.
How much was that?
Orange.
How much was it?
About $50. I got it on eBay.
Oh, so. I'm going to eBay nice. Right now.
That's a knockoff.
I don't care.
Exactly. It's Mech fans toys. It's Mech fans toys. It's a knockoff of DX9.
It's a knockoff of a third party.
Yeah, it's fine.
But yeah, he looks really good next to.
I wish the colors were consistent.
Yeah.
You know, I can get past it. I like it so much.
Yeah. It's a Diaclone reference. So.
And I got a new.
Something
Dino Buckler, because the old one I had, whenever I opened it up, the Green Ranger coin had a tendency to fly out of the morpher. I found that to be annoying. This one's much better.
Well, that's a metaphor for how Tommy kept almost losing his powers through the back half of season one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Marvel Legends. I got the Jessica Drew Spider-Woman. I'm making a shelf of spider people.
Okay.
And this one got under Eric Crown, our friend Eric Crown over skin. I got a Prowler for like $9 after he paid full price for one.
Okay.
Oh, excellent.
Well played.
Yes.
Well played.
Yes.
What Builder figure piece did that come with?
That's in the Lizard Wave.
Oh, I gotcha. Okay.
And Dawn, this one's for you. I got Cloak and Dagger.
Oh, good.
Oh,
good.
Wow. Yes. Nice.
I never thought I would see Cloak and Dagger in a Marvel Legends wave.
Wait for it.
The full size. The full
Eventually, size. They'll get everything.
Yeah. I have a Walgreens now, so today I found the Thing.
Oh, he's big.
And this thing.
Nice. He's heavy.
This is heavy. This is heavier than the Power Rangers morpher I got, and this thing's made of metal.
that thing is just solid chunk.
And at Walmart today, I found the Gray Gargoyle.
Oh, wow.
For my Masters of Evil shelf. And Genus Vell.
I was going to mention that I got Genus Vell as well, and I'm very happy with it, even though I wish it was the Avengers Forever version.
Yes, that's what I was hoping for as well, but this is a fine substitute.
Yeah, well, my target
now we can move on.
He's my Captain Marvel.
Remember how the 90s Iron Man cartoon randomly made Gray Gargoyle one of the stable casts of bad guys?
Yeah.
That was weird.
Okay, so going back to the G1 stuff. So there is, we have that Soundwave coming out, and we also have a Gears, which Gears is probably my favorite mini-bot, so...
Oh, I love the Warpath.
I hate Warpath. I hate the Warpath toy.
Oh, I'm more excited about the Warpath than I am any of the small ones that have been come out so far, except for Tailgate.
I just always liked how Warpath's head flips up, and I couldn't tell you why.
I think that bugs me. It's just weird to me. I don't know. I've never cared for that toy, but I love Gears because I love the character and I really do love the toy.
It was just so different to get a tank. Like, we don't usually get tanks.
Yeah. Well, other then we didn't.
Yeah, then.
Well, you know, the great thing about this Minibot lineup is there's so many past, you know, buying them, finding them. You really just have to tell Hasbro and say thanks for the memories.
God, Don, please. My mute button doesn't work.
The fact
is mine, though. Let me check.
The fact that, this is not going to end well. The fact that they are pulling out Warpath, though, means they're going back as far as the 2004 TF Collection Minibot set. So there could be Power Glide, Cosmos, Huffer coming along, too.
I would love a Power Glide.
Yeah.
I mean, unless they're doing...
And a Cosmos.
Unless they're doing... I mean, I'll buy them, I guess, just so I can have them in on sale card.
They should do G1 reissue Viper.
Oh, yeah, that'd be great.
Yes.
Well, I was going to say, the only thing that would...
I need about a dozen of those.
Yeah, the only thing... what I was going to say, the only thing that really interests me is if we would get G2 versions of the ones that we didn't get G2 versions of.
Great.
John, did you buy it? Okay, yeah. I am jealous. Okay, John just bought this on eBay. I was going to buy it, but I don't have the money right now.
This is one of the few things I actually considered.
So I saved you. You saved me $100. It's a Happy Meal display of Batman the Animated Series. I seriously would have bought this.
Me too.
That's exactly like something that I would have in my office. So except I don't have room.
Although that's going to look... That's going to look great in the back corner next to John's Jeffrey.
It will.
Yes.
Yeah.
Man. I love that. Congratulations. That's a great purchase.
To our audience who's hopefully still bearing with us, just keep in mind this is our first regular show of the year. So this is, being off the rails is just kind of on tap tonight.
Yeah, and there's not a lot of great news to talk about, unfortunately.
Get out of our system.
We would ever know, since we haven't got to that point in an hour and 15 minutes almost.
But for everyone in the chat, don't worry. I've got plenty of funds left.
Don't make it forced on.
So, Transformers Historia.
Wait a minute, Brian.
Yeah.
Do you want to know the real big news of the week?
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. What is it?
I went and saw Bumblebee.
What?
No!
Oh, wow.
Oh, man.
Holy
and you think, Matt? It was not bad. Like, I was actually pleasantly surprised.
Oh, my God. Life doesn't make sense anymore.
I was not offended. My intelligence never felt insulted. Not once.
Right?
It's so good. I really like it, yeah.
I'm dizzy.
And I genuinely like it. It's not like I like it on a Transformer sliding scale.
Yeah,
I genuinely liked it.
There are a certain few things I could have done without. Haley Steinfeld did a fantastic job. John Cena, not so much.
John Cena was okay.
He was better than I expected him to be. Let's put it that
way. That's his best role so far in a movie, which is not saying a lot.
I don't know about that.
He was horrible in Blockers.
Sisters and Blockers.
He was horrible in Blockers.
Oh.
He was horrible in Blockers.
You're no fun.
I didn't see the other movie, but he was horrible in that movie.
But by design.
I guess. But awesome. So what did you think about do you consider it reboot, new continuity, prequel?
Well, it's only the second Transformers movie that I've ever seen. You know, this one and the 2007 one. I'm going to take this one on its own merits.
Okay, that's fair. Fair. Wow. Okay,
go ahead, Don. I'll finish this up and then we can go back to the news.
Right. Matt, now that you've seen the movie, do you plan on buying the Bumblebee toy?
I kind of looked at the movie masterpiece one. I'm mulling it over. I haven't made a decision yet.
Oh, maybe get the Studio Series one instead. I haven't heard like the most good things about Movie Masterpiece Volkswagen Bumblebee.
Yeah, I've heard the Masterpiece does not want to tab together that well.
I haven't bought a single Movie Masterpiece figure, nor do I think I ever will.
I am eyeing up that Studio Series Optimus Prime from the Bumblebee movie.
MP38 does look great. Yeah, SS-38.
Although, that's That looks great, even if you don't want it as a movie optimist. Like, it's blocky enough to pass as a semi G1 thing. Yeah. So, last thing on. Oh yeah, damn. So last thing on the subject of the movies. I was just thinking about this the other day and realized that Transformers The Last Knight is basically, for me, the same as Star Trek Nemesis as was to the Star Trek movie series, where, like, I really want to pretend that doesn't exist and is not part of the continuity. Like, we could just erase that from existence entirely, and I'd be so much happier.
You know, the Picard series is going to take it into canon.
Well, it's already in canon. It was a movie.
It's a movie theater.
Yeah.
It can't ignore it. You're right. Well, I was thinking they may pull like Superman Returns. Yeah, or Superman Returns.
That'd be great. That'd be great if Star Trek adopted the Dragon Ball philosophy, where the movies, you know, they're sort of canon, except how they're not.
Yeah.
They don't count.
Okay, now I'm picturing Picard just standing there for four movies, just screaming and getting more powerful, and him actually growing hair.
No. Okay, so moving along. Transformers Historia, it is out early in the UK. The problem is, if you didn't pre-order it, you're not going to get a physical copy unless your comic shop just happened to buy it. But it will be available on Kindle and Comixology.
What is it?
Chris McFeely's book, dude.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
It is Chris McFeely writing the official history of the first IDW Transformers continuity.
And again, this is not the first official work McFeely's done, but it's the first book that I'm familiar with that he's done himself.
And congratulations. Chris has put a lot of work through the years in, like, I used to use it back in the day, the Digimon Encyclopedia, the TF Wiki, being basically an ambassador, you know, kind of to the rest of the fandom on stuff that was going on in the UK with Transformers and the comics and all that. So Chris really deserved a lot of this coming back to him for all the good work he's done. He's a great guy, and I couldn't be more proud for him than I am, because he deserves a little bit of fame and recognition for all the hard work he's done for the
fandom. Chris has been a friend for years. I actually found the first episode of RSC that Chris is on. It was like from 2000. Chris, his microphone was so bad. It was so bad.
You would pick up on that.
No, dude. I mean, a deaf person could pick up on it. So it was pretty funny.
Oh, I would, too.
Chris has always been like a guy who's super knowledgeable about everything. And we used to have him on the show every week back when, what was it, the TF Wiki Spotlight? We quit doing that after a while.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It was Stump Monzo. I was thinking it was Stump McFeely, but we had a Stump Monzo segment. We had McFeely trying to stump Monzo.
Yeah.
He actually is the first person to stump Monzo.
If anybody was going to do it.
Then Proto Man did it the next week. So, like, at that point, we just retired the segment. I'm like, okay, this segment doesn't work.
There's no one left that could stump him. I mean, that's...
It's just a matter of, like, how obscure do you want to get with, like, on page 3 of this book, you know, what was on panel 4, he's not going to know the answer to that. But, you know, I digress. McFeely's an awesome dude. He's been a friend for years. I'm super happy for him. I'm probably not getting a physical copy because I don't pre-order it, because I don't have a comic shop, which isn't actually true. I just don't go to it. But I will get it on my Kindle, and I'm super excited about that. So, congratulations, Chris. Hopefully everybody out there that has it is loving it. And if you don't have it yet, you will love it when you get it. I'm certain. Okay, Hasbro Toy Shop is going away. It ends like the 17th, I think, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And orders will be accepted up to that point. And it's going to become a curated e-commerce site, which I'm assuming that means it's like an Etsy or something. What is it? How does that work?
Who knows? All we know is that their new e-commerce site is coming in February, and there will be announcements later on the curated brand content that they intend to have on it. That's all we have so far.
Now, if I'm using the context of curated as curator, if I'm using that same similar context there, that means that they're handpicking, or at least they're not putting tons of stuff on there. They're going to be judging on a semi-individual basis what goes mean, on there.
No, I mean, it can mean a lot of things. I mean,
it could mean they're not going to have stuff like Cyberverse on there, and they're going to focus it more on being like, you know, here's where you go for our collector level products.
It could literally mean that they have a website where they link to like a product page on Amazon or one on Walmart or one on Target. Like curated is it's such a vague term that it could literally mean anything.
Okay, so I'm taking the context of the word too literally. In this case, then.
Until we know what it is, we don't know. Until we know, we don't know.
All right, you know what's really dumb to me is usually when you're working on a new website, you can work on that website on a local server to get it operational and then take down the new site and or take down the old site and put the new site up instantaneously.
What's that, Don?
Mm-hmm.
That was a joke.
No. I was just thinking, I wonder if Hasbro...
No. I was actually talking to Diecast. I was just joking that was a Don level of sophistication in his explanation of how that worked. What do you mean? What do you mean, Diecast?
I just don't understand why it's going to go away in January and not return to February. Why can't
they're
they just
probably they're probably changing the vendors that they're working with to actually fulfill orders
or not changing any, like my best guess is what I said is probably the thing. They are going to have a website that somebody at Hasbro runs where they link to Target or to Walmart or to Amazon.
Either way, they're using that transfer time to close out their business with the current outfit they're contracted with to actually run the store.
Or close it out, or it literally terminates at that point.
I took it as previous news articles when they said Hasbro Toy Shop is not going away, that they weren't getting rid of the provider that ran Hasbro Toy Shop. So that's incorrect. They are getting rid of.
Well, we don't know for sure.
Yeah,
that's just one interpretation and one explanation for why there would be a gap period between Hasbro Toy Shop as we know it ceasing operation and then the new form taking over. If they're changing hands to someone else running their store for them, you know, they would need time to actually get the logistics of that in motion and not have overlap or whatever. So nothing gets lost in the cracks between.
Right.
And then their Target opening date's probably going to coincide with Toy Fair so they can reopen the store with the debut of some, you know, new online premiere product like Repugnus. Repugnus.
Yeah. Now, one thing I'm just wondering is I wonder if they're taking a page from what RFC does, kind of, in the fact that maybe if they're functioning on a calendar year that's not a physical year. That would be a lot, because a lot of companies do from February to January as their calendar year. So that could be one thing. But I'm just wondering if they're setting up with new vendors.
Don, you're talking about the NRF retail calendar. February to January is specifically a retail physical calendar.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, that's what NRF does. It could be a different physical calendar, but I get what you mean. Right.
Yeah, but I'm just wondering if maybe what they're doing again. This is fascinating as a what if situation. What if Hasbro is setting up with new vendors and is selling them product, and then they're providing links to these vendors from Hasbro Toy Shop? So not only are they selling product to these vendors and making money that way, they're getting residuals off the links by directing the traffic to these vendors.
I bet that's what they're doing.
So that way they're making money off the product and they're making money off the transactions. So therefore, they have no physical stock to keep up with. No inventory costs, and they're making money on both sides of the transaction.
Yeah, no, I mean, I said what I said sort of as a joke originally, but the more I think about it, the more I think that's what this whole thing means. I'm betting, just to simplify things, because, yeah, I mean, Hasbro Toy Shop is supposedly a money generator, but if it was that big of a money generator, it wouldn't have gone away. I think they're going to go to something that has basically a zero cost to run it. And it would be something kind of like what you're describing.
Yeah, and Walmart and Amazon have the infrastructure already in place. If they want to use them as partner websites to actually fulfill this,
yeah,
it makes more sense.
Yeah, I think it could totally be something like that. I think because otherwise, I mean, they're not, when it's, they're curated in the sense of like, they're very selective about the products that they put on. That doesn't make any sense because they want to sell all their product. So I think they're specifically target. I think they're specifically, it's basically going to be a link farm or a blog or something. I think it's probably going to be something like that. It'll be just interesting. Go ahead.
I like that term, link farm.
Yeah.
I like that term.
Yeah. So if, I was going to say, if RFC TFRadio.net ever becomes a link farm, you know that I have lost my job. So there you go. So Diecast, sorry about the Don comment. That was below the belt. Iron Warrior IW-05 Pioneer official color images of not Solus Prime.
I have no idea why the headline says that. Actually Transformers
Prime.
I mean, it's, strictly speaking, it's not wrong because is not Solus Prime.
It is.
Yes.
Yeah. So, it's Transformers Prime. And I saw,
which is not Solus Prime.
It is not Solus Prime. Yeah, actually, I copied and pasted it, even though I knew I was linking to. I like it.
It looks nice.
I like
it.
I like that it's not the same thing that we've gotten before. I don't even like Transformers Prime, nor do I specifically like that design, but I like that it's different.
Well, and see, that's kind of the thing for me. Like, I appreciate that it's very specifically trying to recreate the show model as accurately as it can. At the same time, I only like the Transformers Prime, Optimus Prime model when it's adapted to actually transform into something with the extra moving parts and hardware.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't realize this didn't transform.
Nope.
I didn't realize that. Oh.
Yeah, and they have a Megatron coming out too, and nope.
Oh, it's still nice though.
Well,
it is very nice.
Megatron
attack.
Megatron would probably be an easier sell because Megatron didn't transform a lot in the show, and even the toys that exist don't stray too far from that model because it's not really so dependent on transforming into a specific looking thing. It's just kind of a mess with wings.
Like many Megatrons are.
Well, I mean, since the 2007 movie, yeah.
Something else interesting. Actually, no, this isn't interesting. I'm going to skip to the interesting one, then go back to the Studio Series thing. BotBots at Big Lots. So, if you want BotBots, you can go to your local Big Lots and buy them.
Well, yeah. That's it. BotBots is done, everyone.
They're
showing up at full price, though.
Yeah, Big Lots has closeout stuff, but Big Lots also gets things first run.
Yeah.
So if this were Ollie's, it'll be a little different. But they also get first run stuff, and I mean, they got first run stuff here.
But I would also not be surprised to see the blind pack ones show up at like Five Below.
Yeah, I was thinking
that.
I mean, same difference.
Yeah, and when I was at Target picking up Magnus and Shockwave, the $2.99 single bots were there in a box as well, so they are now showing up after the Target reset.
I found Authentic's Bumblebee, I think, at Ollie's.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, I didn't buy it. So that to me...
I'm so sorry. You had to look at it.
Yeah, so to me, that means probably, that they're not. It's not doing well when it shows up at Ollie's, but I'm not too worried about this because, Big Lots, Dollar General, for a lot of people, they don't have other options other than stores like that. And where I live, Dollar General is considered like a low tier, store. I think where John is, it's a little more fancy. If I remember a conversation that we had before, correct? Family Dollar, Dollar General, Big Lots, it's not all just closeout stuff. Ollie's, it's all closeout stuff. It may be a dead person's comic collection at Ollie's, who knows?
I think that was probably just a unique situation. They probably don't do that all the time.
Hey, like on their website, I was looking at it, they'll buy anything. Literally. It's like, if you have something to sell, call us. And they will buy anything. It's pretty awesome. So, a Studio Series Leader Class Jetfire in hand photos. People like this. I have never understood the appeal of this toy or this design, this character, or anything about it. But
Revenge of the Fallen, so it's automatically good.
Well, Jetfire was pretty much the only legitimately entertaining part of that movie.
Yes, yeah. He was. And it doesn't look bad.
It doesn't look bad. I just hate the concept of it.
It's like someone said, you know, Silverbolt is not enough of a backpack with a jet underneath. Hold my beer.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what we get with Jetfire. It's just.
Yeah, I don't get it. So on the video, we're showing Optimus Prime wearing the corpse backpack. And I know people like it. I just don't see it.
Like it.
You would.
It's your favorite movie. I'm perfectly okay with it. Both as a, you know, power-up corpse and a robot toy. I just don't have any urge to get it.
I saw the other day on Twitter, someone in Japan, I think, tweeted out photos of various toys, and among them was thrilling 30 liter Jetfire wearing Studio Series leader Jetfire armor. Jet power Jetfire.
Oh, shit. You know, I'll be honest, you know, if I'm going to go for the, you know, Jetfire power up thing, there's that third party coming out from who's doing that, Jason? The with the trailer. Yeah, that looks a lot more of a that looks a lot more cohesive than what this does.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, cool. Okay.
I still want the Unite for the Universe Jet Power Optimus, where it was I think the Revenge of the Fallen Voyager toy with a trailer made of Jetfire parts.
Well, heck, with this whole Red Swoop line, you never know. They might dig that out of mothballs and make it or something. You never know.
I had that in the show notes. I don't see it anymore.
Have it under T-Formers.
Oh, okay. That's why. We'll talk about it in a second then. Okay. So, hey, if you want to help out RFC, please do. Please do. Go to tfradio.net/Amazon and just buy whatever. I bought some batteries there recently. Batteries I know it's awesome.
Exciting.
And, you can order potato chips and maybe accidentally get sent a rolling cart or whatever.
Can't promise
Diecast ends up with.
Today I bought, 3057 size bulbs for my Dodge Durango so that I can have a brake light that works.
Oh, that's important.
And I'll have those tomorrow because I use next day shipping. It's pretty great. Yeah, I'm excited. So TF Radio.
You couldn't get them same day?
Well, if I had ordered before noon, I could have gotten them same day. So tfradio.net/Amazon. If you want to get the Bumblebee movie, which Matt liked, so that means a lot. Go to tfradio.net/BB movie. That's tfradio.net/BB, the letters BB movie. And you can pre-order Bumblebee. It's available on Blu-ray, I think DVD, and also 4K Blu-ray. I pre-ordered the 4K Blu-ray. And it's, you know, it's a great movie. I genuinely like it. Very few people have I encountered who actually didn't like it. So if you like Transformers, you'll probably like that.
If they don't release 14 different home video versions like they did last night.
Or if they do, hopefully you don't get 14 different versions sent to you by Hasbro. Actually, that wouldn't be that bad.
No, we'll take them.
Yeah.
Yes, I still have several.
Yeah.
How about one off of you?
So tfradio.net/BB movie. Pick it out. And of course, we mentioned earlier tfradio.net/Cadbury 48 Cadbury eggs for $25. It's great. And if you are in the UK or Japan or somewhere else and you want to help us out, easiest thing to do is just go to tfradio.net and click on the Amazon banner on the side of the page. And no matter where you're at, that will take you to your local country's Amazon, and your local country, they'll send us back some money to help pay for the show in whatever your local currency is. And I can go to my bank and they can be confused while I try to cash the check. So, yeah. Yeah, it's always fun because I never get the same person. Okay.
Hey, you know what else I wanted to mention that was popular on my Twitter feed?
Ooh, what?
Was the, there's a KO cell shaded Grimlock coming out.
By who?
I don't know. It's a KO.
But
it looks really good.
It kind of matters who makes the KO.
It's like the Optimus Prime cell-shaded KO. No one knows who actually made that.
Sorry, in the chat, they're like ignoring us, talking about Dragon Ball Z. So,
yeah, that was my first indication that we were talking about what we got for too long this week, that yeah. everybody just stopped and started talking about Dragon Ball instead.
Yeah, but if you want to join us in the chat and talk about Dragon Ball Z and Dragon Ball Super and Dragon Ball GT, go to tfradio.net/live, and it's there, and it's great.
I'm pretty sure next week we won't be talking about what we got for quite as long, because we won't have, you know, like a 14-day backlog to burn through.
Or shoes.
Or shoes.
Right.
Yeah, and plus, soon Chinese New Year is going to hit us, and no one's going to be getting anything.
Oh, gosh, you're right. Yeah. True.
That. You know what else I noticed? That it's kind of like a retraction. People were saying there's no battle damage on
Cog.
Cog. Yeah, there actually is a little bit of battle damage. There's some silver paint specks randomly. Yeah. I was like, they got silver. Oh, no, that's supposed to be battle damage.
Yeah, wow, no, it's really the same with Shockwave, basically. Like, the main body of the figure doesn't really have the battle damage on it, but the toes have a little bit, which actually looks really bad. And the hose connecting the backpack and the arm has some on it, and then it's on a few of the add-on parts. But, like, yeah, it for the most part, there's not any, but there is a little bit if you look for it.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's see here. Rob, what's on T-Formers this week?
Okay, well, first up, we've got the packaging image for Generation Select's Red Swoop, and that sure is a cardboard mailer. Which,
yep.
Yeah.
You know, I'm perfectly fine with that. I kind of get the sense that this is, like, again, the current version of that first round of, you know, special editions we got with Grotesque and RC. And so, yeah, that packaging makes sense to me. But, and yeah, that red, well, Red Swoop is red. It looks...
Red Swoop is red.
Yeah, there's not much else to say about it. It's show title. Yep. It's the swoop from those first promo renders. So if that's something you're excited about, you're, you know, in luck.
I saw more than a few people who were disappointed that it was going to end up actually being the cartoon colors instead. So,
well, good. I mean, if you want a perfectly color coordinated Volcanicus, you'll be in good shape after this. Yeah, really. It's a way to break that Grimlock's shoulders, as far as I've ever been able to tell. But yeah, that just looks like such a terrible idea. But also, we've got the first video of Studio Series 38 Optimus Prime, which apparently is mostly just transforming it in both directions.
Oh, wow. I'm sure the transformation that would have taken less time if the person doing it had actually bothered to learn the transformation before shooting the video.
Which is kind of a thing I try to do for that very reason.
Yeah.
Also, that was just pretty quick. Saves me so much editing time.
That was pretty quick, though, getting a video out for this figure, because we only learned about this figure, what, like 2-3 weeks ago? Yeah. And now someone already got a sample of it?
Yeah.
So I don't know how much veracity there is to this, but apparently this person is in Vietnam and either connected with one of the production facilities or actually works at one of the production facilities. So it's the good old Five Finger Special, probably.
Yeah. Whew. Yeah,
but it still looks like a really good toy.
It does. And lastly, we've got there's been a listing that's gone up for Siege, Greenlight, and Dazzle Strike on Amazon Canada.
Cool, very cool. You can find the show notes for this episode with a corrected title for that one article at tfradio.net/604. You can leave us a voicemail at 931-99-GOBOT. It's 931-994-6268. You can also send texts to that number, and occasionally we'll play those on the show. You can find us on Twitter at TF Radio, on Facebook at facebook.com/TF Radio, on Instagram at TF Podcast, and at YouTube at youtube.com/Radio Free Cybertron. And I am personally on the Twitters at BKilby and on Instagram at Brian Kilby. And you can find my podcast at briankilby.com for the Happy Daily. And you can add it to your Echo from Amazon. You can check it out every day. We also have our RSC Daily Transformers News Update, which is as daily as Transformers News gets. which is, you know, every day or every couple of days, depending on the frequency of news. You can check that out at tfradio.net. Just click on the RSC Daily button at the top. You can find Rob Springer at zonebase.org and at RoboRobSpringer on Twitter. John, you have so many places that you're at, it's just hard to keep track of all of them. How would somebody keep track of where John DeLuna is?
They just had to put the three things together. That, John, and D.
Is that also the case like for LinkedIn?
I don't think so.
Oh, you need
can
to fix that.
Can you do nicknames on LinkedIn? Do you want to do nicknames on LinkedIn?
Mine, mine is like LinkedIn.com/, what is it, LI/, I think Brian Kilby.
It's not Podcast Daddy K or something no. like that? Or,
okay. It's, yeah, so.
Why isn't it?
I don't know. I don't use LinkedIn, but I have one. I need to actually use it. Diecast.
You can follow me on Twitter at Diecast2, on Facebook at Reviews by Diecast. You should definitely check that out because you'll know when the reviews go up. And any other Transformers news that's relevant, I try to post on there. And you can also see my reviews at tfradio.net/reviews.
Cool. Jason.
You can find me running around my house in my new shoes, but you can also find me at Jason S. Kirk on Twitter and the Instagram thingy. Yeah, with the pictures. I'm on that too.
Nice. Nice. Chris.
Well, you can check out playwithphotography.com for my photographic work. There will probably be some Ultra Magnus and Shockwave stuff coming up there in the near future, and probably little galleries for the Wave 4 Masters of the Universe Mega Constructs minifigures, because those are pretty nice. And I don't think those are out in many places yet, so getting some good photos up of those would probably be a good thing to do.
It would be.
And I'm on Twitter at ChrisRTXV. You can also follow at PlayWithPhotos on Twitter for updates and random photos that I post there. Play with Photography also has a Patreon. You can find that linked from the main page on playwithphotography.com. And my birthday is coming up, too. So, you know, 19th. I've wish lists in various places. And if you would like to, you know, observe my birthday with me, you could definitely send me something.
Huh, nice. Very
I cool. think I did.
Chrislist, right? Twitter, tfradio.net/Chrislist.
Yeah, that would get you the Amazon one. I also have one on a service called gifthero.com now, which basically just lets you collect links to store sites in various places. And it's a little bit more complicated because you have to get the shipping information from the person who sets the list up, because they don't keep that centrally for privacy reasons.
Yeah.
But it gives you more flexibility than just stuff off of Amazon. And for increasing numbers of people who are getting more and more uncomfortable with doing business with Amazon, it's, you know, an alternative to that.
Amazon actually used to let you do the same thing. I don't know if it still does, where you can add offsite product.
Yeah, I don't know if that's actually an option anymore.
Okay, it was pretty cool, because that's how I kept track of like the toys that I wanted to buy. But yeah, it's pretty sweet.
Yeah, I've got a number of private Amazon wish lists to basically keep track of like upcoming listings and stuff. And for price tracking purposes, it's actually kind of handy.
Yeah, I've been, I have one for like podcast gear that I want to pick up eventually. And I'd had it pared down because, you know, there's not a whole lot that I really need at this point.
Right.
But then I just blew it out with like, oh, if I won $10 million, I would buy these microphones. So I have them all up there. The one that Jason has is on my list, the RE320, as far as also the RE20 as well. And
Yeah.
I have the RE50. Yeah,
I got like high-end camera stuff on one of my private wish lists too, in the same kind of like, if I ever become independently wealthy, this will be a great thing to buy.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's the one Electro Voice mic I have is awesome. It's the RE50. It's the unidirectional mic. Like for interviews, it works great for that. Let's see here, Rob.
I am on Twitter at Figure Viewers and Flailthroughs, also on YouTube at Flailthroughs, where our Gundam Battle Operation 2 coverage continues. The weekly update is every Thursday. I'll probably be recording that about tonight at midnight. Got a Patreon for that as well, patreon.com/flailthroughs. And, of course, the Transformers-related video work that Chris and I do can be found on YouTube at T-Formers TV.
Cool.
Should be a new video coming up in the next few weeks, hopefully.
Cool. And just because you know, I have to correct myself. I think I said unidirectional. I meant omnidirectional, of course. Everybody knows that. So should I skip Matt? Because I skipped
everybody
before.
Cares, I'm sure.
Nobody cares. I want a hyper. I don't have a hypercardioid pattern. No, I do actually now have a hypercardioid pattern, Mike. So I don't
know. Oh, darn it.
So Matt's on Twitter at Melvar, 3Ls, 2Rs.
It's that shotgun, Mike. Yes, 3Ls, 2Rs. He is a great follow. Definitely, definitely do it.
Don. And he actually watched the Bumblebee movie and liked it. Like, thank you. You know, what better praise can you ask for? It's definitely worth. Yeah. Follow him on Twitter and ask him what his deep and complex thoughts are on the movie. I'm sure he'll love that.
Yeah, he watched a Bumblebee and he thinks he liked it.
Oh, let's see. Mute topic.
Done.
I can be reached on Twitter at AGMRC, the number 4EVR.
Excellent. Okay. I think that's it. So we will have less stuff to recap next time because it's going to be a fresher set of news. Man, it's going to be awesome news. And Toy Fair is coming up here in a little over a month. It's going to be great. It's going to be great.
Hopefully.
Hopefully. Woo-hoo. Okay, we'll see y'all later. Have a happy day.
I got shoes.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/tfradio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons license. Any part of this podcast can and should be redistributed, but please, proper attribution is required if you know what's good for you. Radio Free Cybertron, the original Transformers internet radio show since 1999. 100% girlfriend free since 1999.
This is Radio Free Cybertron, episode 604. Let me start over because somebody just, I think it was Don. Don, can I mute Don? Yeah, I can.
Really?
I can mute individual people.
Oh, no.
We can? I'm updating right now.
I can only mute Don. Maybe I can mute more. Hold on. Before we start.
Mute me.
I'm going to unmute. Oh, wait. Maybe.
Is it the whole stream you're unmute? You're muting, maybe?
Can't. Can I unmute Don?
Oh.
Maybe he muted himself.
I know. It literally says mute. Don, did you mute yourself? Say yes or no. Ha ha ha, you can't. Okay, let me
He's very clearly saying no.
Okay, give me a second. I'll unmute Don. Oh my god, this is the best thing ever. Okay, it's not letting me unmute Don. Let me remove Don from the call. Let me add Don back. Hey, Don, are you there?
Hi, Don.
I don't know, am I?
Yes.
Okay. Yes, we can hear you now. Okay, so lesson learned, don't mute someone unless you really mean it.
Okay, just mute Diecast. Diecast, say something.
Okay.
Oh, great.
Oh, nice.
Okay. It's not
best show ever.
Oh.
This is not going
to
end.
But
it won't let you unmute?
It lets me mute, but it doesn't readily let me unmute. Don, unmute yourself.
If you can...